Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's that day, folks. The day you all look forward to. It's a Wednesday. That means it's Supernatural News and Parashare right here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Right over there, she's intelligent. She's very witty. She's very funny. And she's the author we all look forward to seeing the next project from. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jessica Freeberg. Hi, Jessica.
Hello, Timmy.
Hi. You know, I got to tell you, I'm a little unnerved today.
Why? What's going on?
I think I'm going to post pictures on the blog of this. I've got to show you the picture right off the bat here. I know I'm throwing you off from our regular game. We're going to get to the supernatural news here in just a moment here, folks. I normally don't give you too many peeks into my personal life here, but I've told you guys before about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Look at this big fat squirrel sitting on top of this bird feeder.
Oh my gosh. What are you feeding him? He's ginormous.
Isn't he? He's the size of a house cat.
He really is. That's not a squirrel.
It is a squirrel. It's
like an otter or something.
He looks like an otter, doesn't he? Anyways, we're going to talk unusual things today. That's why I bring up the picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Look at this. I the way I put it in the chat room today is, look at this big fat effer. Isn't he huge?
He is huge. I don't think I've ever seen a squirrel that size.
You want to see a picture of him looking disappointed and waiting for his next meal? Look at, he just...
Oh, he looks angry.
He does look angry, doesn't he? Like, where are my treats?
I want a cheeseburger.
Right?
do they eat meat? I don't think so.
I think he would if I set one out. He does not look squirrelish. He looks like somebody's dog sitting on top of that. The bird feeder is more like a small house.
Yeah, he's like the Doberman of squirrels.
Yeah, I mean, he's huge. He makes, like, imagine, like, the fattest cat you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And Arnold is, like, probably as big as, if not bigger.
He is, yeah. That's a mighty big squirrel you got there, sir.
He's
got
to weigh about 16 pounds.
I think he outweighs my dog.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
Honestly.
He's pretty big. He's a pretty big squirrel. Which is funny because, you know, didn't I tell you last week about him running away with the bowl of almonds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's, I don't know. He's got to be stopped now. He's like Lex Luthor at this point. I'm like Superman. I got to find a way to stop him.
He's food obsessed.
Shortly after we took those pictures, Jess, I stuck my head out the door and he ran like you wouldn't believe. He now, I think he knows I'm his mortal enemy and I'm trying to put him on a diet.
Yeah, he likes his food.
He does like his food. Big show today, Jess, as we're going to talk about some unbelievable things, much like the girth and length of Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're going to talk about the fact that NASA has debunked the alien spire on the moon that's coming up today. NASA also has a new propulsion system that is a little unbelievable as well. A propellantless propulsion drive.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
Say that five times fast.
I'm going to try not to. I might sprain my tongue. That might happen today as well. We have got yet another time traveler today.
Yay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a time traveler who has yet another warning for us. That'll come up today. We've got one of your Parashare stories today that we'll share as well. And believe it or not, Jess, we have a few ghost stories as well. So we've got a full deck as far as supernatural news goes today. And our friend Yuri Geller pops up today as well. So lots of good stuff. Yeah. We're going to start it out, though, first with that NASA scientist who has debunked the alien spire on the moon conspiracy theory. An eagle-eyed anomaly hunter had discovered what looked like a spire-like structure in a NASA photo on the moon. With its rock-strewn and cratered surface, the moon, like Mars, is a place where pareidolia, the tendency for the human mind to make out meaningful shapes in abstract patterns, can reign supreme, generating all manner of peculiar sightings of everything from statues and buildings to animals and people. The tendency to misinterpret mundane things as something significant was brought into focus recently when a YouTuber user by the name of Mexico Geek discovered what he described as a spire on Google Moon. I didn't even know Google Moon was a thing.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Google Moon is a service providing users with the ability to explore NASA imagery on the lunar surface. I think I'm going to spend some time on Google Moon this weekend.
No, that sounds really cool. I'm going to be Googling it now while you're talking.
There you go. At a glance, the alleged spire certainly looks like something, but looks can be deceiving. According to Mexico Geek, I almost want a brave nickname like that.
I just love it. What a great username.
Yeah. The object would be around 3.5 miles in height and was built to accommodate a very large vessel so that it could dock safely without landing. It wasn't long, however, before Noah Petro, a project scientist for NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter Camera, or LROC mission, offered his 2 cents on what he thought the object could be. The spire, he argues, is simply 2 craters, one large and one small, sitting next to each other. The tall, thin structure is actually the shadow of the smaller crater being cast into the larger one, coupled with debris that has likely fallen down the large crater's wall. Whether this explanation will satisfy everyone, however, remains to be seen.
So probably not. They want to think it's something cooler than that.
That's right. So I was just going to say, Jess, what do you think? Is it actually a spire or is it actually something else? Now, I can show you the picture here, Jess. So here's the picture of what Mexico Geek says is actually a 3.5 mile tall spire. And what NASA says is just one crater next to another. Now, that doesn't look like just one crater next to another to me, does it to you?
No, it does not. That definitely looks like something else.
Yeah, that looks like a structure, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's hard with just the cameras between us to say, well, that does not look like a crater. I'm sorry.
He found that just looking on Google Moon. I'm really impressed with his
I mean, no girlfriend, I'm just saying. That's how that works, you know, I mean.
Because I'm looking at it and it just all looks the same to me.
It does, doesn't it? You can spend a lot of time looking at the moon and seeing nothing. I mean, just ask the people who are out there for the eclipse, you know.
Yeah, right.
Our next story has to do with a NASA veteran's propellantless propulsion drive that physics says shouldn't work, Jess, but it produced enough thrust to overcome Earth's gravity.
Impressive.
Right? Yet another scientist who doesn't have a girlfriend. Just saying. You know, we wouldn't have these advances if people were getting down more. I'm just saying.
That's true.
Dr. Charles Buehler, a NASA engineer and the co-founder of Exodus Propulsion Technologies, has revealed that his company's propellantless propulsion drive, which appears to defy the known laws of physics, has produced enough thrust to counteract Earth's gravity, as opposed to having enough thrust to get himself a girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Oh, you never know, Tim. There might be some girl out there who thinks his propeller thrusting is sexy.
That's true. You never know. I stand correct. A veteran of such storied programs as NASA's Space Shuttle, the International Space Station, the Hubble Telescope, and the current NASA DUST program, Buehler and his colleagues believe their discovery of a fundamental new force represents a historic breakthrough that will impact space travel for the next millennium. The most important message to convey to the public is that a major discovery occurred, Buehler told the debrief. this discovery of a new force is fundamental in that all electric, or in that electric fields alone can generate a sustainable force onto an object and allow center of mass translation of said object without expelling mass. There are rules that include conservation of energy, but if done correctly, one can generate forces unlike anything humankind has done before, Bueller added. It will be this force that we will use to propel objects for the next 1,000 years, until the next thing comes, he went on to say. To document this team's discovery as well as the process behind their work, which Dr. Bueller cautions is in no way affiliated with NASA or the U.S. government, the outwardly amiable researcher presented his findings at a recent Alternative Propulsion Energy Conference, or APEC. Filled with both highly credentialed career engineers and propulsion hobbyists, APEC is an organization that a brief once referred to as the world's most exclusive and strange anti-gravity club, which is odd to say as well.
Who knew?
Who knew that...
Say that word again.
Propulsion?
Propulsion hobbyists. That's a hobby. That like is, knitting.
That is. Oh, there you go. That's a great parallel to draw. Like knitting. That's right. In conjunction with that presentation, the discovery of propellantless propulsion. Boy, Roy Fenden would be proud of me right now.
You're doing great. I couldn't even say it once. I'm impressed.
I'm going to try it again. The discovery of propellantless propulsion, the direct conversion of electrical energy into physical thrust. My God, I just turned myself on. Dr. Bueller also sat down with APEC co-founder and moderator Tim Ventura to explain how his past in electrostatics, which is his primary area of expertise, ended up being a key component of his discovery of this new force. You are NASA's subject matter expert in electrostatics, Ventura clarified in his first part of his interview. So if anyone could know about conventional explanations for anomalous measurements for the measured thrust, it would be you, right? Is what he asked. That's true, Bueller concluded with an outwardly humble shrug. A quick look at Dr. Bueller's background confirms that he is indeed one of NASA's top experts in electrostatics. In addition to overseeing the management of electrostatic discharge and ESD safety for the space shuttle, the ISS, and Hubble, Dr. Bueller also established NASA Electrostatics and Surface Physics Laboratory at Kennedy Space Center. So without getting too deep into the weeds here, Jess, it's pretty obvious how they did this propulsion. They did it, of course, with electrostatics and static electricity, rather than using magnetic energy or using reverse magnetic charge in order to reverse propel something out into the stratosphere. Which is interesting. It's a different type of propulsion. I find it fascinating in that, you know, when you, let's just say there have been a few meetings that I've sat in on where different scientists have said, well, the only way that a UFO could take off would have to be through some sort of magnetic force if they weren't using a combustible engine. Okay.
Okay.
So it would have to be some sort of electromagnetic force that, in other words, it would have to be two plates of different magnetic charge that would repel themselves, that would force you to fly that quickly or move that quickly. And they cite that if you had ever seen a UFO that had different color lights that suddenly light up at the same time and you see this thing take off quickly, that they're different plates of different magnetic charge that fire off at the same time to force that to fire up, that engine to fire up and move quickly. It's an interesting theory, that's for sure. But now Dr. Bueller is saying, well, wait a minute. We proved that an electrostatic charge could produce the same amount of energy to get you off this gravitational pull of the planet. Maybe it's an electrostatic engine. And we've proven that we can do it with our electronics. Why couldn't something else?
Yeah.
It's good an point. Interesting theory. Interesting theory, that's for sure. Let's move on to our next story. This story is very interesting, Jess. I find, you know, our old friend Uri Geller is back in the news. You know, we were talking about, over the last months or few months, we've talked about the Peruvian mummies. Beer City Bruiser likes to call them the cake aliens because they look like they've been made out of cake. Uri Geller says the Peruvian mummies aren't aliens as they are unlike the ones that I saw. He keeps going back to his own experience of the aliens that he saw when he was recruited to the CIA by senior officials. Uri Geller says he is not sure the Peruvian mummies are genuine ETs because they do not look like aliens he has seen. The legendary Spoonbender claims he was shown extraterrestrials kept on ice at a NASA space research lab 50 years ago. It's been a while for Uri. After being recruited to the CIA by senior officials impressed with his mind control ability. Uri is now 77 years old, Jess.
All right. Just a young man.
A young man whose memory might be a little faulty.
Yes, maybe. Well, and honestly, like if an alien came to our planet, they would see all different kinds of species, right? So they are not all going to look the same. I don't look like my dog, but yet he is, you know, on this planet.
That's a good point. That's a good point. The 77-year-old Geller said the 2-foot-tall, 3-fingered mummies recently discovered in Nazca, Peru, which are said to have had 3 reproduction eggs and non-human biological characteristics, did not resemble the aliens that he was shown by the CIA. But if they were fakes, he questioned why officials attempted to seize a new specimen who was allegedly pregnant at a press conference in Peru earlier this past week. Uri said the mummies appeared far smaller, shorter, and thinner than the aliens shown to him 5 decades ago. But he said they could hail from a different extraterrestrial race. Uri wrote on X, skeptics argue that they are simply elaborate hoaxes, carefully crafted props made from a mix of animal bones and ancient human remains. But if the mummies are simply crude fakes, then why did the Peruvian Ministry of Culture's officials interrupt the latest press conference about the specimens in an attempt to try and seize the apparently pregnant mummified body? Well, that's an interesting question. He says, what is going on? Is there a cover-up? Are the Nazca mummies actually genuine? Many people have highlighted the intricate details and anomalies observed in the specimens, suggesting that they defy conventional explanations. Uri also went on to say, if this is true, then the Nazca mummies actually provide proof that extraterrestrial life has been visiting Earth for thousands of years. From their appearance and judging only by the photos I have seen, Uri went on to say, they only slightly resemble what I was personally shown, as they appear to be far smaller, shorter, and thinner than the refrigerated bodies I was shown by Wernher von Braun in the 1970s. But if these specimens are real, then they could conceivably belong to a different extraterrestrial race or be some kind of hybrid human species that existed many millennia ago, or perhaps the mummification process has simply made them shrink and become smaller. Some may scoff at the many notions, dismissing them as fantasies or delusions, yet history has taught us that the truth often transcends our preconceptions. The Nazca lines themselves, with their mysterious symbols etched into the Peruvian desert, remind us of the mysteries that still elude our understanding, Uri went on to say. Are they elaborate hoaxes or compelling evidence of a cosmic connection? He concluded. Discovered in 2017, the mummies were presented to the world in Mexico last year in 2023 as possible fossilized remains of extraterrestrials who were not part of Earth's evolutionary chain. Initial DNA analysis showed they were part human and part unknown species, prompting Mexico's first congressional hearing on UFOs. In January this year, forensic experts said they could be elaborate fakes made with paper, glue, metal, and real human bones. So just with that, real or fake?
I'm going with real.
You're going with real?
Okay. I think so. Yeah. I think because, you know, you got your Wookiees and you got your Ewoks. You got all different sizes.
That's true. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You do have different heights, different sizes out there in the universe. Even here on Earth, you've got different heights and sizes of people, different shades of all kinds, different looks.
That's right.
You can't just stick to the good old fashioned gray aliens and the reptilians. You know, you can't go with just the two. You got to have different looks of all kinds, right?
There's a mix, I think.
Yeah. So there's got to be all kinds out there in the universe. So it wouldn't shock me that if these were real, although, you know, I've got the funniest picture of these that I have to show you real quick. It looks like they put one of them in ceremonial dress. I just.
Okay.
Isn't that a little out there? The only way to The only way to describe it, folks, is like they left one without any clothes on, and then they put like a pink dress on, like a yellow headdress on it. Is that?
It's like it's in Barbie clothes.
Yeah, like Barbie clothes on your alien, on your cake alien, because you know you never know when they need to dress up for a good occasion.
They are so little.
Yeah, I know they are brittle, aren't they? They're. Anywho, you know, you don't want to break the alien. Although it looks like they broke the one's right leg, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's missing a whole bottom part of his leg.
Yeah, it was like an oopsie.
It looks like he has like one toe.
Yeah,
he's a mess.
Yeah,
and one arm. Looks like he's missing an arm.
He is missing an arm, isn't he? They've got the one that's totally intact that they decided to dress up. They needed the Day of the Dead Barbie alien.
They probably tried to dress up the other one and he fell apart.
He did, yeah.
You're killing him.
They tried to dress him up as Ken and it failed miserably. Yeah. So, oh well, you know, you do what you can do and that's it.
Poor Ken.
Ended up getting beat up, so they had to dress up Barbie and she remained intact. So she got to look pretty that day. Let's move on, Jess. Another story here. Aliens took my eggs after beaming me up to their ship, and they said they were from another dimension. I think we're in for a good story here, that's for sure. Sherry Wild claims that she had spent most of her life communicating with aliens and was first visited by them when her car stalled, and she saw four of them standing in the road. This is why I have roadside service with my insurance. I'm just saying. A woman has made the extraordinary claim that she encountered aliens from another dimension and took a trip on their spaceship and had her eggs taken. Sherry Wild is an author and reportedly spent most of her life communicating with extraterrestrials. In a 2015 talk that has recently resurfaced on YouTube, she detailed her first encounter with four alien beings when her car broke down in the middle of the road. This is why you stay in your car, lock your doors, and have an emergency kit with you, Jess.
Were they like, pop the hood?
Yeah. Pop the hood. I will fix this for you. She alleges that her vehicle came to a halt right where the beings were standing. That's convenient.
Really. That is. Yeah, I mean, especially if they had tools and were ready to get to work.
Do you think they were standing there in coveralls and they had a little grease on them and they're...
I can just see it, you know, kind of like the guys at the racetrack when you come in to get the tire changed or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they're pit crew. The alien pit crew.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Alien pit crew.
Alien pit crew. They're ready to take care of you. The next thing she knew, 2 hours had passed after she stopped there by the alien pit crew, and she was at her friend's house. She doesn't even remember the repair.
Huh.
Determined to uncover what had transpired, she sought the help of a hypnotist 2 decades later, and the memories she unearthed left her stunned at the age of 17. She recalled when the car rolled to a stop at his feet, I looked through the windshield and my eyes kept trying to change what I was seeing because he wasn't human, and my mind couldn't accept that. He had green eyes, a mouth that didn't open, a tight-fitting cap on his head. I put my head down and I was shaking. I thought I was going to die from it. He called my name and said, Sherry, we've been waiting for you. He told me to get out of the car. There were 2 guys behind with wands who came over and grabbed hold of me. This great claw-like arm grabbed my forearm and pulled me out of the car. As soon as they touched me, I stopped shaking and was very calm. The main guy looked familiar and said, there's work to be done. At this point, I would have looked at him and said, yeah, dumbass, my car just broke down. You want to pop the hood and take a look?
Yeah.
Yeah. She said they were from another dimension. Chillingly, Sherry speaks about being led toward a field where she set her eyes on otherworldly vehicle at that point, describing it as a silver scout ship about 20 feet in diameter, that according to the Daily Star. Despite her curiosity, Sherry was reluctant to board because she says she saw an or she had an impending sense of what might transpire and felt she knew what would happen. The extraterrestrial head honcho, as she called him, whom Sherry refers to as Da, that's D-A,
okay.
short names only. That's what they teach you in Aliens Anonymous. Entered the ship first and beckoned her to follow suit, which she initially resisted. Eventually yielding, she recalls the first steps inside the craft, asserting that it was cold and, curiously, more expansive on the inside than it appeared from the outside. I have a feeling people got that from the TARDIS.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, definitely resembles that.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, well, we all got to go with it, right? She described the interior. I walked into it and there was a room with windows and a curve. There was a slightly narrow slab table and there was also a hallway with other doors and rooms. Perhaps most unsettling is Sherry's claim that she was then undressed and laid onto a table, comforted by a female alien entity at that point. She claims DNA samples were taken from her. However, they apparently took care to ensure that nothing hurt very much. In an unexpected twist, the extraterrestrial allegedly pledged to address a weakness Sherry had in her legs.
Interesting. Yeah. So they were going to help her?
I guess. Huh. In a jaw-dropping account, the woman claimed that the extraterrestrials attempted to extract some of your eggs. That's in quotes. She recounted, they extracted them and I watched the fluid go through a tubing. When they took the sample, everyone stopped what they were doing and there was a high level of excitement. I got dressed and they asked me some questions. The first of which was to ask if I was happy.
Oh, well, that was nice of them to care.
I would have said, well, you just took my eggs. I don't know how happy I am. And by the way, did you fix my car while I was up here?
That's right. I'd be a lot happier if I could drive home.
Yeah, that's right. If I could drive the hell out of here, I'd be ecstatic. After the bizarre encounter, she was released from the spacecraft. Despite her initial desire to return to the ship, her memory was erased, leaving her with any recollection of the event for over two decades. So poor Sherry totally forgot.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a very traumatic, yet oddly calm and peaceful experience.
I guess, but do you think Sherry has little half alien babies roaming around out there?
I don't know. Maybe so. I'm fascinated.
Let me ask you this. As a mother, if you had been abducted and they took your eggs and you found out you had half alien babies out there, would you want to know them or get to know them?
Yes, of course.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you want a relationship with half alien babies?
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Just to
dress them up and
dress
buy
them
nice things. Yeah.
Yeah. What if they were just too bizarre for you to handle? What if they were more dad than mom?
Most kids are too bizarre for us to handle. They pick their noses and eat it.
Yeah, that's true. You got a point there, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I it's a weird thought, right? I wouldn't want to have someone take my eggs without asking. But I've always thought if anyone ever needed eggs, like I would give them to someone so they could have a baby.
Yeah.
But maybe not an alien. But maybe. I mean, they seemed nice. They wanted to know if she was happy.
And against your will is kind of a different ball game.
That's not very nice.
Yeah.
Against your will.
Yeah, that's kind of different. Finally, before we go to break, let's talk about a little bit off the beaten path, but still alien. We're going inside Europe's creepiest bar that looks like an alien skeleton with a direct link to the film franchise. Travelers are seeking a truly out-of-this-world experience, and they can visit a bar inspired by the iconic Alien movie franchise, all thanks to the artist who brought the extraterrestrial nightmares to life on the silver screen. This particular drinking spot doubles as a museum and is decked out with specially crafted chairs, tables, and walls that are designed to look like alien skeletons. It is located in Saint Germain, Switzerland, and was created by the late Swiss artist Hans Rudi Geiger, or H.R. Geiger, the same guy who did the artistic stuff for the Aliens movies. He was part of the Academy Award-winning artistic team behind the 1979 hit Alien, creating an atmosphere in the equal parts fascinating and unsettling. The bar is tucked away inside a 400-year-old four-story medieval chateau atop a hill and boasts a maze-like layout with walls as thick as 2 meters, contributing to its otherworldly aura. I got to show you a picture of this, Jess. If you walk down the halls of this to go drinking, would you be a little freaked out?
Yes, I would, and I would love it.
Yeah, it's a little creepy, that's for sure.
That's cool.
It definitely has that futuristic feel to it, that's for sure. Geiger, who went on to lend his artistic talents to later installments of the Alien franchise, including the more recent Predator films, wanted to create H.R. Geiger, a museum and bar housing the most comprehensive collection of his artwork, spanning a remarkable, successful 40-year career. Taking a total of 4 years to complete the vision, every detail of the awe-inspiring venue, from the ceiling to the floors, fittings, tables, and chairs, exude the unmistakable essence of Geiger's acclaimed biomechanical alien aesthetic. Oh, you have to see this, Jess. Look at this, the interior of this bar.
Oh, that is amazing.
Isn't it?
Look at those chairs.
Those chairs are something else.
I need one of those.
The chairs are very skeletal, folks. So if you can imagine sitting inside the skeleton of the Mother Queen, that's the only way to put it. Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah. It's And even the very top of the back of the chair, the back of the chair is very tall, and the head of the chair looks like the head of the Mother Queen. It's just bizarre.
Very cool.
The building's skeletal design with vertebrae crisscrossing the vaulted ceiling transports the visitor into the insides of the cavernous belly of an unknown prehistoric beast, akin to the biblical tale of Jonah and the whale, or even the haunting remains of a mutilated future civilization. Conveniently located just a short train away from Zurich or Geneva, Geiger's bar can be booked online or visited on a whim. It is spectacular. So if you're
need
in that,
to go.
Yeah, if you're in that area of Europe, by all means, go. It's fascinating. It looks absolutely amazing.
And it's really actually beautiful.
It is, yeah. Yeah. There's this other picture of it right here, which is,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's every sketch you've ever seen of anything futuristic as far as Geiger's alien stuff goes.
Yeah, and it's real, and you can be in it.
Yeah, but it's every bit as intricate and awe-inspiring as you would think.
I hope they sell T-shirts and sweatshirts there that have the little alien coming out of the tummy, though. That's my favorite part.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be funny to have the sweatshirt with the alien coming out of the sweatshirt right out of your gut?
That's what I said when I was pregnant with my son. I'm like, it's just like that movie Alien when he would move around in there.
It kind of is, if you think about it. It's like every woman's worst nightmare, you know?
Yeah.
Like the baby isn't going to be born the way it should be. It's just going to pop out of your stomach and just...
And it's going to be an alien.
Yeah, it's going to be an alien. What a horrible thought. Did it ever... Okay, I got to ask you the question. I know this is off topic, but when you were first pregnant, did it ever freak you out?
Oh, totally. Every time he would move around in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to always like make a joke because I knew he was a boy. I'm like, I'm growing a penis in my belly. My husband's like, stop saying that, please. But yeah, when he started moving and you could actually like see the foot against your stomach and know that it was a foot, like that was so freaky.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool, though.
Very cool. Speaking of, we do have to say congratulations to Katrina Weidman, our friend Katrina Weidman, who had her baby boy.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. How exciting.
So she too has had a penis in her belly. So
she grew a penis.
Yes, she did. Congratulations, Katrina, for growing
a penis. Way to grow a penis, girl.
There you go. that's the most sideways compliment we could give you today. But congratulations on that, Katrina. Way to go, bud. We have nothing but lots of love to send out to you and your husband, and congratulations on that baby boy.
So, yeah, welcome to the world, baby boy.
That's right. That's right. So lots of love to all three of you and to Batman, the puppy. So.
Aw, yeah. Batman's a big brother.
That's right. Batman's a big brother. So there you go. Folks, when we come back, we got a little bit of nightmare fuel today. We had to end this segment on a up note because you got a little nightmare fuel.
Yeah, darn it, Tim.
I'm gonna leave the surprise for when we come back as to what it is. I'll just tease it that way. We've got some ghost stories as well. A haunted holiday home horror as tourists are left screaming by ghosts moving picture frames. That's right. We have interior decorators today.
Scary.
I don't know how moving picture frames is scary, but I guess.
Scary.
We've got a time traveler on the loose. He reveals what life is like in the year 6000. We'll get to that story when we come back. And there's a Loch Ness sighting.
Yes.
The first one of the year. And we're going to talk about this brand new Sasquatch movie that's out there, Jess.
Oh, I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, there's a brand new Sasquatch movie out there. I don't know if you saw the trailer. I'm excited to talk about it because there are people that were horrified by it when they saw the screening and the first week of it. We're going to talk a little bit about it and what's so horrifying. There's also a brand new Frankenstein movie being made.
Oh, so good.
And it stars Christian Bale. So...
I am here for that.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that as well. That is all coming up in the second half. And Perisher. We have a Perisher story. So that's all coming up in the second half of our program today. It's a Supernatural News and Perisher Wednesday with me, Tim Dennis, and Jessica Freeberg. Right here on the best in paranormal programming, this is Darkness Radio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio on a Wednesday. It's a Supernatural News Wednesday. And of course, we have Parrish here as well today. Boy, you gotta love it. It's hump day today. Hopefully no more babies will be born. You gotta enjoy your hump day after all. You don't want the responsibility. So it's a light and airy Wednesday. We're all very happy today. It's a gorgeous day out there today. Of course, it's spring. It's a renewal season, Jess.
Yes.
That's right. We're airy. We're happy. We're loving it. We love life. Oh, God. What?
Oh.
It was only a matter of time. It's time for Nightmare Fuel. It's time to talk about AI just for a couple of stories, Jess.
All right.
Let's start it out with the doom and gloom first. Turns out the U.S. Air Force has confirmed their first successful AI dogfight, Jess. That's right. Totally autonomous air fight.
What?
They don't need no stinking humans. An autonomously controlled aircraft faced off against a human pilot in a test last year, evidently. We're just hearing about it now because we want our children to sleep at night. U.S. Air Force is putting AI in the pilot seat. In an update on Thursday, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, you know, the people you're blaming for the weather problems?
Yeah.
Well, they revealed that an AI-controlled jet successfully faced a human pilot during an air dogfight test carried out last year. DARPA began experimenting with AI applications in December of 2022 as part of its Air Combat Evolution program. Notice the abbreviation ACE, Air Combat Evolution, right? They don't want to lose. It worked to develop an AI system capable of autonomously flying a fighter jet while also adhering to the Air Force's safety protocols. After carrying out dogfighting simulations, after carrying out dogfighting simulations using the AI pilot, I want to sue the AI pilot for everything he's worth. But using the AI pilot, DARPA put its work to the test by installing the AI system inside the experimental X-62A aircraft. That allowed it to get the AI-controlled craft into the air at the Edwards Air Force Base in California, where it says it carried out its first successful dogfight test against a human in September of 2023. Human pilots were on board the X-62A with controls to disable the AI system, but DARPA says the pilots didn't need to use a safety switch at any point. The X-62A went against an F-16 controlled solely by a human pilot, where both aircraft demonstrated high aspect nose-to-nose engagements and got as close as 2,000 feet at 1,200 miles per hour. That is fast.
There's not a lot of room for error there.
No. DARPA doesn't say which aircraft won the dogfight, however. I don't think they would.
No.
Because if the human won, they got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
If AI won, we're all a little scared.
Yeah.
Dog fighting was the problem to solve so we could start testing autonomous artificial intelligence systems in the air, Bill Gray, the chief test pilot at the Air Force's test pilot school, said in a statement. Every lesson we're learning applies to every task you could give to an autonomous system. The agency has conducted a total of 21 test flights so far. 21. And says the tests will continue through 2024. Rapid advancements in AI have given rise to concerns over how the military might use the systems. The Wall Street Journal reported last year that the Pentagon is looking to develop AI systems for defense and to enhance its fleet of drones. So, Jess, you up for a dogfight with AI?
Yeah, I would definitely lose.
Yeah? Let me ask you this much. Would you... say they developed this system that's so good that it can fight in the air. Would you get in a taxi or an Uber with AI that's that good that it could dodge through traffic at 70 miles an hour?
I would not want to. I'm afraid it's going to be coming to that where we don't have much other choices, right? Like, mm-hmm. eventually that's just, you need to take an Uber or a taxi. That's what's going to be available. I don't like it because I feel like, I don't know. I feel like it could go wrong. I've seen too many bad movies.
I could see in 30, 40 years a society where cab drivers and Uber drivers are totally autonomous AI. And just to make us feel better, there's a robot in the front seat.
I'm afraid so. I mean, I do think that airplanes are pretty well flown on their own. I think, you know, there's always a pilot or two up there, obviously, but they're really pretty automated already.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
I feel like they always need to leave a human in the space though, in case something goes wrong, but I don't know.
That's true. That brings up our next story, Jess, which is the world's most advanced humanoid robot, which is in the UK.
I don't like humanoid robots. They're creepy.
They are kind of creepy, yeah. This one is multilingual, has facial expressions, and it mentions a threat.
Uh-oh. I don't like that.
The world's most advanced robot is now ready to meet humans, at least according to its manufacturer. A humanoid robot that has been designed to look and act in a similar way to us will be showcased at the National Robotarium in Edinburgh, Scotland, as part of a project to help humans and robots understand each other better. The bot, which goes by the name Amika, uses artificial intelligence to communicate with people. Amika has cameras for eyes and microphones for ears. Does that make sense? That means you can't hear if you have microphones for ears.
Yeah. Took me a minute to process that, but that doesn't make any sense at all.
And is described as being able to interact with people in a natural and engaging way. Researchers say that Amika can pull facial expressions to show it's thinking and joking using its advanced motorized components and smart facial recognition software. Oh, I have pictures for you here, Jess. This is the chilling face of Amika.
Well, she's creepy.
To give an idea of what we're talking about, Amika is just gray, with a gray face and cold staring eyes.
She has our, like, shape.
Yes.
But she's devoid of any human softness.
Yeah. Very hard, cold metal. Yeah. And metal guts hanging out in the middle, in the sternum. The National Robotarium, the UK Center for Robotics and AI, has purchased Amika from Engineered Arts and plans to take it to public events, school visits, and workshops around Scotland to get people familiar with human-shaped robots. Researchers hope that Amika will help people of all ages learn about the latest robotic advancements. Amika can understand and speak multiple languages, including English, German, French, Chinese, and more. She can differentiate between American and British dialects and pull off intricate Japanese tongue twisters fluently.
Wow, she must really be hitting her babble hard.
I guess, right? Yeah. She must have got the discount right at the beginning of the year. While Amika is only now ready to meet humans, humanoid robots in general have long been talked about. Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk both previously described AI technology as our biggest existential threat. And a professor warned back in 2016 that bots would take over the world within a few decades. Robotics expert Noel Sharkey previously said the robotics community has certainly been considering that idea that robots will be walking among us. It's just a matter of when, really. The University of Sheffield academic said that these human-shaped robots will slowly creep into our lives during the next few decades. We are likely to see robots integrated into society in the near future as shop assistants, receptionists, doctors, doctors. I don't want a robot doctor. No. Bartenders, and also as carers for our elderly and children, he explained. It'll all happen very gradually over the next 20 to 30 years until we don't even notice that they're among us. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about, but if they come to look too human, like they could be used to deceive us in many ways. Oh my God, look at this picture, Jess. Look at how steely cold those eyes are.
As long as they keep looking like that, we'll never mistake them for a real person, though. That's the good news.
Although, you know, in 20 to 30 years, I'm going to hit on that thing so hard. Just saying. I'll be like, so what brings you to this part of town? You look pretty hard. You want to see how hard I am? I'm just saying.
No.
I'll be a dirty, dirty old man. Amika has been described as a really special and advanced robot that can do lots of different things. Speaking on Radio 4 on Wednesday, Lisa Farrow from the National Robotarium said Amika has full mobility of its top half. Well, it's good to know when I'm a dirty old man. I'm just saying. And has cameras, microphones, and actuators in its face to help it pull facial expressions, making it really good to engage with. I got to take notes.
Yes.
Lisa said the modern phenomena of Uncanny Valley is the biggest barrier between people and humanoid robots. Uncanny Valley describes the feeling of being unsettled by lifelike features that aren't quite convincingly realistic. That doesn't stop some people, I'm just saying.
It's true. You're getting pretty excited about this. It's like they created Amika for you to go on a date with.
Well, I'm just saying, sometimes you got to show dominance. Yes.
She looks tougher than you.
Well, that's true. And probably
look at
always
that cold,
will be.
Hard stare.
Look at this. Here's Amika doing the John Cena, saying, you can't see me right there. You can't see me. You can't see me. That's part of the reason we want to have Amika at the National Robotarium, Lisa explained. It's to allow people to engage with humanoid robots to get that personal touch, and understand what the robots are capable of and what the benefits of them are. See, they're already giving you a shot at Amika at the Robotarium. It's a buck a holler, I guess, is what it is.
It's pretty cheap.
That is, yeah. It's
Amika, you're worth more than that.
Well, we don't want her to get a high self-esteem here. Don't pump her up any more than you have to. Lisa said the purpose of the Scottish tour is to enable more people to use robots more of the time and make it more natural for humans to adopt and deploy robots in their home and jobs. She added that's what they're going to use it for, to really engage with people, especially with the next generation of roboticists. I think you're, like with most humans, are going to find a way to abuse it.
Oh, I mean, we just mess everything up. I just want to make a plea to all the smart people in the world. Stop making these creepy AI robots. We don't need them.
I think there's people with a sense of humor out there that'll probably put a wig and lipstick on it.
Oh, for sure. You know that some guy is going to get one and like make it his wife. And then it's going to be on My Strange Addiction. And we're all going to be watching it.
Uh-huh.
I guess better than the guy who had all the blow up dolls.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Although, was it when, did you see the skit on SNL with Shane Gillis about the sex doll that was real lifelike?
No.
With the bad breath and all that other stuff? No. I have a feeling that's what they're going to do with a lot of these robots in order to keep you off of, especially the guys, in order to keep them off.
They're going
to
make them stinky?
Yeah, they'll make them stinky and with really quirky personalities and, you know, make them want to talk about things they don't want to talk about. Like
they're going to make their legs have like spiky stubble on it. Like yes. It's 3 days unshaved.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll talk about nothing but Downton Abbey. I mean, stuff like that. Don't, you know, so yeah, I mean, they'll do things in order to, you know, make them unattractive to guys.
I don't know if they can make money off of them. They'll probably have a few that are
for sale
for the men.
Oh yeah. I'm sure they will. Yeah.
And there'll be some women who want one too. They'll want a nice ripped cut, muscular, rockish, you know, that robot.
That will sit and listen to you all day long.
Yeah, tell me I'm pretty.
Yeah.
I kinda want one. Okay, yeah. Never mind. They should keep on making these.
See? So what would his name be? Arthur? what do you want his name to be?
I don't know. Amika's kind of a cool name, so I feel like he needs to have a cool name.
Yeah? Like what?
I don't know. Dwayne.
Oh, wow. Look at you going after the Rock there, huh? Yeah.
Sorry. Little obsession.
That's okay. Hey, a little off topic here. Okay. So we're out to eat after my nephew's hockey game. And I think it was my sister who makes the observation. She goes, hey, you know what? Dwayne's looking a little old.
Oh, is he?
Didn't you see WrestleMania?
How dare she say that about my future?
No, you know,
stepfather.
You know what though? I'll throw in with her and say he is looking a little old.
Is he? Well,
the body's intact, but the face is looking. He is looking mid 50s.
Well, I mean, may we all age like The Rock.
Hey, you know what? If I looked like The Rock, I wouldn't be complaining. I'm just saying.
I mean, it would be really weird if I looked like The Rock, but. Can you imagine?
But I'm just, you know, like even 5 years ago, you know, five years ago, the guy looks like he's, you know, 10 years younger than he actually is. Right.
Yeah. I think it just happens to everyone. And, you know, maybe we don't see him for a little while. And then all of a sudden, and that's a tough thing about being someone who's kind of thought of as a sex symbol. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to age like Betty White. Like, she's just cute.
Yeah.
I just always want to be cute. And funny.
But there's no other way to put this, but he very much is taking on his mother's side of the family. He's very much looking Samoan now.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. He's taking on Samoan looks. And he's you know how in his family they get very pronounced cheeks, like the long kind of
droopy.
Yeah, kind of droopy cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his cheeks are starting to get kind of long and a little droopy.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'll have to send you a pic.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you won't argue that one. sending you a pic of The Rock. But yeah, he's, I mean, don't get me wrong. He really bulked up for WrestleMania. I know you'll like that too. But the body looked phenomenal for WrestleMania, but the face looks different. And maybe it's because he got bulked up. I don't know.
Oh, could be.
But it just, you could tell the cheeks and the face look different. He's aging, you know, it's definitely the Samoan side of him that's aging. So.
Interesting. Yeah. You'd have to check it out. Yeah. Send me a picture of The Rock.
We'll do.
Homework.
Yes, ma'am. I won't argue with it. I'll do that.
Send me a couple if you need to. All right.
I'll get you a couple different angles so you can definitely see this aging process. That's for sure. I won't argue with you there. Let's do this. Let's tell you this ghost story, and then we've got a parashare story for you here, Jess. I'm always leery when people say, "Oh, a ghost moves something. It's got to be Satan." A lot of times it's not. Satan's not going to move things around the house. It might be your grandma.
Satan's busy.
Yeah, he's not even going to send a lesser demon to move stuff around your house.
He's grooming his Antichrist. He's preparing to take over the world. He's, you know, keeping the lake of fire stoked. He's busy. He's not moving your picture frames.
Right. He's definitely not dropping dishes in your house, right?
No. I mean,
he's not even sending his lowest demon, you know, on dish dropping duty. This story has to do with a haunted holiday home horror as a tourist is left screaming by ghosts moving picture frames, Jess. I don't know that I buy it, but let's read it anyways. TikToker Milena Luna shared a video showing the holiday home in which a painting hanging on the wall is apparently moving on its own accord as laughter is heard in the background. I think it's probably just a painting that her relative probably hated more than anything. A group of friends have filmed a terrifying encounter with a ghost during a weekend getaway in a city in Argentina. The clip recorded by TikToker Milena Luna shows a painting hanging on the wall of their holiday home, apparently moving of its own accord. The frame piece rotates slightly clockwise and even tries to break free from the nail, fixing it to the wall. Meanwhile, the painting hanging directly above it in the property's living room remains completely still. Nervous squeals and chuckles are heard from the group as they watch the spooky event unfold just feet away. Milena, who's from Argentina, captioned the video, "Point of view, you come for a weekend to a house in Miramar." She posted it on April 1st, and it's since been watched 717,000 times. I'd be a little leery because it was posted on April 1st.
I was going to say, posted on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
It'd be a little suspicious. Other social media users took to the comments to recount similar spine-chilling experiences. Richard wrote, "I don't know what's up with the houses on the coast, but 3 years ago I rented one in Santa Teresita. Oh man, you have no idea how they run down the stairs at night. It was terrifying," Magus said. "We rented a house in Costa del Este, I believe it is, and at night we could hear the sofas moving on the ground floor." And Rosanna added, "My siblings were in San Clemente, and they had to sleep outside in the pickup because everything inside was moving." Milena said it wasn't the only scary thing that she had witnessed that weekend. Charles added, or asked rather, "Did more things happen or just that?" And Milena replied, "The drawer door opened by itself more than three times. It comes as a woman's hair moved after it was pulled by a ghost in an 18th century manor house. The apparition is said to have pulled her locks in the historic Georgian building as she was on a trip to hunt ghosts." We covered that last week. So a little bit of an interesting story about this painting moving. I don't have the video per se on TikTok, but I tell you what, the story anyways in the description so you can see it. I believe there's a link in the story for you to follow it and see the video yourself, and I'll let you be the judge.
All right. I'm a little jealous of all these people getting really cool haunted houses to stay in.
Right?
I want one.
Isn't there a Airbnb site for haunted places?
Oh, I do think so. Yeah. And I think they're noted on Airbnb, some haunted ones, because there's one in St. Paul.
Right.
That's the manor that's notoriously haunted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done events there. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought so. It's time now, folks, for ParaShare. If you have a ParaShare story, you can type out your email, send it to tim@darknessradio.com. You can also go to darknessradioshow.com. There's a blue button on the right side of the website where you can leave your voice note. You have 2 minutes to leave your voice note with your story. If you need more than that, just click on that blue button again. Leave another 2 minutes. I'll stitch your voice notes together. We'll air your lovely voice on this show. You can tell us your story yourself. There's also a third method, as our guest last week, or our listener last week did. And he fully produced his.
It was amazing.
Music, sound effects, and everything. It reminded us of the old Theater of the Mind from a few years back. So you've got many avenues in which you can express yourself and your story with the other side. So here we go. This one is from Jeffrey, who's written us before, he says, "Hey, Tim and co-host of the week." I prefer to say, hey, Tim and Jessica. Yeah.
I have a name, Jeffrey.
That's right, Jeffrey. We don't.
I'm just kidding.
We don't marginalize our good people around here. Jeffrey says, "I wanted to tell you guys about a recent acquisition of mine. I inherited an allegedly haunted piano."
You lucky duck.
I hope that when they gave it to you, they said allegedly haunted piano. And not just haunted piano. It's a small child-sized piano, only about 2 feet tall. Do you have to get on your knees to play that deal? Or is it, you know, is it a small little stool you have to sit on?
Is that like one of those thumb pianos we talked about?
Oh, yeah, the thumb piano. Or is it like the one that... what's his name on Peanuts plays?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope it's a little tiny grand piano.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to sit down there and play it. And then Lucy will sit on the top of the piano and while you play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Boy, am I old. Let's get on with it. I don't know the exact age of it, but I would guess 1940s or 1950s, Jeffrey goes on to say. I just got it a few days ago, and so I don't have any strange occurrences to report yet, he says.
They're coming.
That's right. I've attached a picture of it so you can see it, but you guys can't because it's an audio podcast. Uh-huh. Maybe I'll put this up in a blog. So you guys can see it.
You should.
Yeah, at darknessradioshow.com. Here's the story of the piano and how I came to have it. About 10 years ago, my grandfather found this piano in pieces in a box under the basement stairs. Neither him nor my grandmother had ever seen it before or knew where it came from. That's strange fact number one. My grandfather built the house back in the 1970s, so there are no previous owners that could have left it behind when they moved. My grandfather doesn't want it, so he puts it out for trash. My uncle, aunt, and cousin live only a few houses away and were driving by and stopped to say hi. They see the piano in the driveway and my cousin takes a liking to it. My dad takes it and fixes it up for my cousin as a Christmas present. Hopefully you're keeping up with all my family members. Well, not physically, but we are in the story, so, you know, there's that.
We're following along.
Yeah. Well, my dad has it. A family friend of my parents comes over to visit. She has a touch of psychic ability. She can sense different energies and can feel when a spirit is around. She doesn't embrace this gift, though, and gets freaked out when she feels things. Anyway, she comes over to visit, and as soon as she walks in, she goes, "Whoa, what's here? Something's off. Did you guys buy an old antique? I don't like this feeling. Your house never felt like this before." Now, at this point, she didn't know they had this piano in the house. My dad shows her the piano, and she says, "That's putting off bad energy. Get that away from me. There's something attached to it. I don't like it. You need to get rid of it." My dad is a skeptic, and so he just brushes it off. He fixes it up without any paranormal happenings and gifts it to my cousin on Christmas. She plays with it for a while, and eventually it gets moved to their basement for storage. A little while later, my uncle wakes up in the middle of the night and hears music playing. He gets up to investigate, thinking a TV got left on or something. He gets to the top of the basement steps and hears piano music playing from downstairs. He does a great big nope and goes back to bed. Next day, the piano gets returned to my grandparents and it gets put in their shed.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Well, over this past weekend, we were cleaning out their house because my grandfather passed a few years ago, and my grandmother moved into a nursing home. We come across this piano, and I'm told this story. I knew about the friend sensing something about it, but I didn't know about it playing in the basement. Well, being interested in this stuff, of course I took it. I'll be sure to keep you guys updated if anything happens. I've written to you guys before about taking part in paranormal investigations at Gettysburg and Pennhurst Asylum before... So my group and I might try to investigate the piano. Keep up the great work, you guys. Any additional merch coming soon? We're working on it. We're having a little bit of issues with our logo. So once we get the logo fixed, we'll have stuff coming your way. Jeff says, I'm a hoodie junkie and I would love a Darkness Radio hoodie. We'll have one coming your way here shortly, Jeff. He says, Jeff from Pennsylvania, thanks for all the great content. You're very welcome, Jeff. So there you go.
I love that story, Jeff.
Yeah, there you go. Appreciate it, Jeff. Again, if you have your story for us, you can send it to us, tim@darknessradio.com, or again, click on that blue button over at darknessradioshow.com. You can leave us a voice note over there or fully produce the thing. Come up with one of those old-fashioned theater of the mind things. And I tell you what, we'll play that here on the show too, just like we got last week from our listener. And by gosh, we'll play that here on the show as well. So many, many avenues, Jess, to be creative.
I love the parishioners. They're my favorite.
Yeah, me too. I like them as well. Let's move on here. There's a time traveler that, believe it or not, has come back to our time, who claims that he's here from the year 6000 and is revealing what life is like in that year and has a picture of the future city to prove it.
I don't even want to know.
You don't want to know?
Crazy. No. It's got to be bad. It's like all robots, right? Like there's not even people anymore.
I don't know. Let's find out. A time traveler has revealed what life is like for humanity in the year 6000 and has a picture of that city to prove it. The man whose face is blurred claims to have been part of a secret program to send people forward in time. Wouldn't it be back in time?
Yeah, that would have been back in time.
It says
he was coming back.
No, no, no. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm reading this wrong. He was part of a secret program to send people forward in time in the 1990s. So he lived in the 1990s. It was sent forward 6,000 years.
Okay. Yeah. I'm getting it now.
So he's explaining what life is like in 4,000 years' time. The time traveler said advances in medicine, government, and new technology will make modern life seem primitive. Interesting. The self-appointed whistleblower, who has his voice distorted, also claims humankind lives in peace under the benevolent rule of an AI overlord. Dear God.
So excited when you were saying that we were living in peace. Did you see my smile? I was just lighting up from the inside out. And then you said AI overlord, and it ruins everything.
Yeah, it really does. The bizarre video uploaded to Apex TV, which is a channel specializing in mysteries and the paranormal, shows the man meeting a reporter at an undisclosed location to reveal what he knows about secret technologies and what the future holds for humanity in the year 6000. During the clip, he claims to have a picture of an unnamed city to prove that time travel is real. However, the image is extremely blurred, of course. And although the man says this is normal when time traveling, in the time travel process, pictures tend to get distorted, as well as many other things, the man says. He adds, I know a lot of you are going to find my story extremely hard to believe, and I don't blame you. And if I was watching somebody claim these same things, I myself would most likely not believe them. Well, of course you wouldn't believe them. We don't believe them. He says, it is not my intention to deceive anybody. I simply want to spread a message about the future of humanity and where the world is heading. I have seen the way the world changes and the technologies that have emerged. It would blow your mind if you knew the technologies that exist in the year 6000. The time traveler then begins to cry as he reveals that he left a close friend behind who can never return. I know he's in a good place, the man said. In a way, the future is like a utopia, but sadly, when we attempted to travel back, we couldn't. I just wanted to see him one more time. Before the video ends, the man claims that future technology will allow people to shrink down so space won't be a problem, as seen in the film Downsizing, starring Matt Damon. He also claims that time travel will become common knowledge by 2028.
Wow, that's not that far away.
No. Meaning we don't have to wait long to find out if he is telling the truth or not. I don't know, Jess. What do you think?
So you're saying we can shrink ourselves down. So like if I like had a goal of losing 20 pounds, I could just like magically shrink 20 pounds. That part I like.
I don't know if that's what he means by shrinking down. Okay. I think he means like Dr. Shrinker shrinking down, like, you know, like we can get smaller physically in size, like we can shrink from 6 feet to 3 feet or 2 feet. Or
that could be kind of fun, too. Then we could play that little piano.
That's true. Yeah, we could jump around on the piano and play the piano rather than physically.
I'll play it. You can sit on it.
Yeah, like Lucy. I'll sit on it like Lucy. Yeah. That'd be the fun part, I guess. I don't know. We have a Loch Ness Monster story. In fact, it's supposedly the first time Nessie's been spotted in 2024.
Yes, I'm excited. I love Nessie. She's my fave.
I think Nessie's been a little shy this year. Although the weather pattern's been a little weird this year, too.
Maybe that's why.
I think so. Loch Ness Monster spotted for the first time in 2024 as a family snapped a compelling photo. The Loch Ness Monster has reportedly been sighted with a family claiming to have caught compelling new evidence of the elusive creature. The official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register has endorsed Perry and Hannah Malm's claim after they snapped a photo showing an unidentified presence near Urquhart Castle, a known hotspot for Nessie enthusiasts. The Malms, along with their children, were visiting the loch for the first time when they encountered the mysterious figure. Perry recounted the moment, saying Shannon spotted the black head of an animal bobbing up and down. You sure that was Nessie?
I knew you were gonna.
See? I was a total skeptic before, but now I think there must be something out there, he went on to say. As we approach the 90th anniversary of the initial search for Nessie, NASA is set to join the quest for this legendary creature from May 30th to June 2nd, which coincides with the anniversary of Sir Edward Mountain's inaugural surface watch back in 1934. The space agency will contribute its expertise a little later. Amy Todd, the marketing manager at the Loch Ness Center, expressed excitement about the collaboration. We're hoping that experts from NASA might have some advanced imaging technology that can scan the loch. Discussions on the logistics of the operation are pending. As Todd said, we would have to sit down and talk to them about how to get it here. The legend of Nessie continues to captivate with over 1,156 sightings recorded since the days of Sir Edward Mountain's expeditions. This comes after a holiday maker claimed to have spotted Nessie, snapping a photo of an 8-foot beast lurking beneath the waters in Scotland. Earlier this year, we had shared the story of Steve Chalice from Southampton, who stumbled upon a photo he'd taken of an 8-foot sea creature. He was visiting Urquhart Castle with his brother, gazing out at Loch Ness, when he noticed an unusual sort of ripple in the water, and he quickly grabbed his camera. Steve didn't think much of it until he was flicking through his holiday snaps during the 2020 lockdown. Speaking to the Daily Record, he said, "I started taking a couple of shots, and then this big fish came into the surface, and then went back down again. It only appeared to be in one shot. And to be honest, that was something of a fluke. I watched for a little while, and as you can see from the last picture, but I didn't see it again." So evidently he saw it in one picture, but didn't see it again in other pictures. So it was just kind of a fluke in one picture that he saw that creature.
Interesting.
So there you go. Okay, so earlier in the program, Jess, I told you there's this new movie out there, Sasquatch Sunset.
Yes.
Which supposedly in screenings was so gross that people had walked out of it.
Really? So it's not like Harry and the Henderson Sasquatch movie?
No. Although when I had seen screeners, or not screeners, but when I had seen previews for it, or just little trailers for it, it was really fascinating. Because you could tell it wasn't like a documentary at all. You could tell it was a Hollywood movie.
Right.
But that the makeup for this thing was really good. I mean, as far as the creatures went, you know. You could tell
but
that
they're saying it's too gory, or why are people leaving?
Well, here's why. You know, you're familiar with Jesse Eisenberg, right?
Yes.
He's the star of the movie. He says the film was a labor of love. Here's the deal. Early screenings of the movie Sasquatch Sunset made headlines for sending dozens of theatergoers fleeing for the exit during scenes with graphic depictions of every possible bodily function. Now those scenes are relentless throughout its 90-minute runtime.
Why? Why would they include that?
Evidently, we're getting a day in the life of Sasquatch. Jesse,
a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're a wild animal, I guess you're a wild animal. I have no idea.
I guess.
Jesse Eisenberg, one of the film's stars and producer, told Yahoo Entertainment that he's been more focused on the response he's been getting from most viewers and that the film was a life-changing visual experience. I guess it is if there's a lot of bodily functions. Whenever you make something unusual, it's going to turn people off, he said. There are so many movies made for people who like typical things. This is not that, he went on to say.
This is our kind of movie.
I guess so, right? Eisenberg is one of four members of a nomadic cryptid family in Sasquatch Sunset, along with Riley Keough, Christoph Zajac Denick, and Nathan Zellner, who also co-directs with brother David Zellner. They go about their daily lives, hunting, gathering, excreting, mating, and exploring the world around them with unbridled frankness. Now, the movie's already out. It was released on April 19th. So it's available in theaters. I believe it's got a limited run, but it's out there.
Got to see it.
Yeah. Eisenberg said he's aware people might be surprised that big-name stars like himself and Keough would invest so heavily in the movie, but as actors and producers. But he said he was just one of many people to fall completely in love with the story at an early stage. He says, if you're a financier, this is a risky prospect because it's so unknown. But if you're in the creative parts of the industry, what you read is one of the most brilliant things you'll ever come across, which is genuinely unusual, really funny and emotional, character-centric and earnest. The script has plenty of dialogue, however. It's just hooting and grunting. He says there's no voiceover narration that so often accompanies documentary footage of so-called Sasquatches.
Interesting. I think it sounds great.
Yeah. He says the camera zeroes in on the mundane and revolting everyday activities of its fur-coated characters, bucking the conventions of a traditional theatrical experience at every turn. He says it was a labor of love for every single person who was involved, Eisenberg said, from the movie's unconventional directors to its high-profile stars and cinematographer Mike Gouliakis, to its enthusiastic investors. There are more than 30 people listed as producers on the movie's IMDb page. Now, when he talks about becoming a Sasquatch, this is interesting.
Okay.
He says for the actors, that labor was literal. The Planet of the Apes movies use motion capture to give characters a more enhanced primate-like appearance. But for Sasquatch Sunset, they brought its Bigfoot family to life without computer-generated wizardry. This was the part I was talking about with the makeup.
Yeah.
Eisenberg said he and his three Sasquatch co-stars spent hours early in the morning being covered in glue and then prosthetics, followed by paint and hair on every part of their bodies, even unexpected ones like their eyelids and nostrils. He said it was claustrophobic, psychologically taxing, and physically exhausting. It was worth it, though, because you look in the mirror and see that you're the living embodiment of somebody else's work of art, he said. Our Sasquatch faces are illustrative of our characters' experiences. And let me show you a picture here, Jess. When I saw the trailer, I saw this.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Wow. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it and you truly do think you're looking at a Sasquatch. Once suited up as Sasquatches and caked in makeup, the cast filmed deep in the California Redwoods. They studied the 1967 Patterson-Gimlin film, reputedly footage of an alleged Sasquatch. Then they attended a Sasquatch boot camp with movement coach Lauren Eric Salm. There they acquired some version of Sasquatch language, primitive as it was. When we were calling for another Sasquatch, it's a high-pitched shriek, Eisenberg said. When we were foraging for food, it's more of a focused grumbling. Nathan Zellner would sometimes direct scenes from within his Sasquatch costume. Now, other times, he'd fold it over his waist to expose a regular shirt, but keep on a Sasquatch mask and makeup. Eisenberg said the most memorable scene they worked on was also one that led to so many walkouts at festival screenings. The family comes across a man-made road, which terrifies them at first, then triggers their instinct to dominate and attack it with pee.
Yeah.
See?
I gotta mark it.
A deluge of bodily fluids ensues. I think this is our movie, Jess.
I think I'm in love with it already. We have to go.
The audience has been engaged with him up until this point, but at this moment, it looks so absurd, Eisenberg says. To me, the movie accomplishes this amazing thing where you can laugh at these characters and also feel for them at that same moment. He added, it's an art project in the sense that I can't think of anything else that's quite similar to it. So there you go. Sasquatch Sunset is out right now, as I said, in limited release. So,
movie night.
So it's time to go see Sasquatch Sunset and support it in theaters. The other movie that is coming soon to a theater near you is a recreation of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And Christian Bale is playing the lead character.
That's going to be good.
Yeah. Frankenstein's monster. The monster is back, and Maggie Gyllenhaal took to Instagram on April 4th to debut test photos of two of the characters in the forthcoming film, The Bride, in which she is directing. The horror romance stars Christian Bale as Frankenstein's monster and is set to be released in October of 2025. Bale is the second of three actors to play the famed literary character in a string of new adaptations. So, Maggie Gyllenhaal is directing, Christian Bale is the monster, and according to Hollywood Reporter, the film is set in 1930s Chicago.
Cool, I like that.
And it follows Frankenstein's pursuit of a female companion with the help of Dr. Euphronius. Frankenstein reanimates the corpse of a murdered woman to bring his titular bride to life. Now, the cast also involves Jesse Buckley, Annette Bening, Penelope Cruz, and Peter Sarsgaard, which should be interesting. Sarsgaard, who is married to Gyllenhaal, says that The Bride is a deeply romantic, wild punk monster movie. He says, I think it's going to be energizing. It's rambunctious. People are going to be very surprised that this is Maggie's second movie. It's nothing at all like The Lost Daughter, which she also was a producer of. Again, it's expected to be out October 2nd of 2025. So there you go.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, folks. There you go. There's other Frankenstein movies that are out there right now or actually being produced. There's actually a version of Frankenstein with Jacob Elordi, who replaced Andrew Garfield as Frankenstein's monster. That one was actually interrupted due to the SAG-AFTRA strike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're saying, I guess, February of next year, and that's being directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Ooh, he does cool stuff.
Yeah, so there you go. Interesting
stuff. So those are going to come out in the same year. We're going to have two Frankenstein movies in 2025.
Yeah, The Bride and Frankenstein, so.
Cool. I'll watch them both.
Interesting stuff. And finally today, folks, on Supernatural News and Parashare, who says that all psychic readings are bullshit?
Who says that?
Especially tarot card readings.
Okay.
It turns out that a tarot card reading predicted a Michigan woman's $500,000 lottery win.
What?
Yeah. Imagine this, Jess. We go to Michigan, where a Michigan woman said a tarot card reading correctly predicted that she would win a $500,000 lottery prize later that same day. Interesting.
They never tell me that kind of stuff.
I know, right? I'm wondering what's going to happen to the tarot reader.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 59-year-old Genesee County woman told Michigan lottery officials she was on her way to the tarot card reading when she stopped at the BP gas station on West Thompson Road in Fenton to buy some scratch-off tickets. During my tarot reading, I was told money would be coming into my life very soon. I tried to think of ways this might happen, but I didn't even think about the lottery tickets in my purse, the player recalled. Huh. Later that night, I scratched the tickets. I saw the star symbol and thought, well, at least I won my money back, assuming it would be a $10 win. Much to my surprise, I revealed a prize of $500,000.
Dang.
I tried to remain calm, but I knew right then and right there, this had just changed my life. The woman's prize came from a 50 times wild time scratch-off ticket. The winner said her plans for the prize money include paying off her car, taking a cruise with a friend, and investing the remainder.
Smart girl.
There you go. So who says tarot card readings are bullshit?
Not this girl.
There you go. And that is how we end Supernatural News for Wednesday.
That was a good one. I liked it.
Yeah, there you go. So, Jess, I see now you're working on a new project online.
Oh, I'm working on what's, I don't know if I can talk about this yet because I haven't signed them, but I'm working on several new books that we have contracts coming for in the next few days. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I went to dinner with my friends and I said, thanks for being part of my last social outing for the next 2 years.
So it's that busy, huh?
Oh, it's going to be crazy. This is going to be great. A lot of monster books and ghost books and some witch books.
Really?
Yeah, wow. It's going to be fun.
Wow. And of course, you have those books that are coming out in the fall.
Yeah, we just finished up one about ghosts of Pennsylvania. Some of the locations that Jeffrey mentioned in his parashare will be in there, Eastern State Pen. And
really?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite ones to research because it's such a cool history.
Yeah.
And Gettysburg, of course. You can't do Pennsylvania without a little Gettysburg.
That's right. And of course, folks, if you want to keep up with everything that Jessica's doing, it's jessicafreeberg.com. I don't know why I can't say your email. God, it's time to wrap this up, isn't it?
It's been a long day.
Your website address. We'll have the link to Jessica's website address, even though I can't say it, in the description of this program so you can follow along with everything that Jessica has going on, including events and other such things. We'll have that in the description of the program. So that's going on. Also, precious, precious few tickets. If there are even tickets remaining for the Potographs for Pooches event in May 18th at the Palmer House Hotel, again, go to the events page at darknessradioshow.com. Myself, Richard Estep, and Tim Miley over there at the Potographs for Pooches event at the Palmer House Hotel. Folks, I want to ask you as well, if you're unable to get a ticket for that event, to support the cause anyways, go to potographsforpooches.com and buy some swag and help support shelters throughout the nation. As Tim is doing some good work for Potographs for Pooches, and get an autograph from both Tim and Murray and support that charity. It's a very worthy charity, and Tim does everything he can to support shelters throughout the nation and help animals. So please, that's a charity that's close to both our hearts here on the show. So we encourage you to do whatever you can. So
such a good cause.
Yes, it is. So if you could this weekend, if you got a few extra bucks, either get a ticket to come on out to the Palmer House and see us, or just donate to Potographs for Pooches, one or the other. Let's see. Also, Michigan Paracon. They're in the events page at darknessradioshow.com. You can get your tickets for Michigan Paracon there as well. Speaking of Michigan Paracon, Jess.
What?
Coming up on Monday. Not Monday, I'm sorry. Coming up on Tuesday. I'm behind myself here. Brad Blair from Michigan Paracon will be on the program. He's got a brand new book out there called Paranormal Justice.
Awesome.
So he will be on the program and we will talk about that brand new book that has everything to do with ghosts, cryptids, and everything paranormal and how it has interacted with the world of the law.
Ooh, that's so fascinating.
And that is on True Crime Tuesday next week. So man, we got stuff going on. We got stuff going down this week. And
lots of cool stuff.
Yeah. And speaking of this week yet, tomorrow on the big program, Aaron Deese.
Awesome.
That's right. He's going to be, he had to cancel last week, but boy, Jim Willis filled in quite aptly.
So great. Yes.
Yeah. And so we have Aaron Deese on this week, and he will be talking about Dog Man. He'll be talking about Dog Man in the Tennessee Valley and Kentucky areas, in the land between, what is it called? The land between the lakes, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is what's going on for tomorrow. I got so much going on here, I can't keep it straight, Jess.
It's just so exciting.
There's a lot going on here at the big show. So Aaron Deese tomorrow. We've got Brad Blair next week. And boy, we got so much going on. And coming up all the way into May, we've got Nicole Strickland and Marie D. Jones coming in May, beginning of May, with their Women in the Paranormal book. We got lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, you're getting great guests. I mean, you always do, but knocking it out of the park, man.
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying to get some good guests in here for you, trying to bring you some good interviews, good shows. So, yeah. Lots of good stuff coming up on Darkness Radio coming into May. So that'll do it for today's show. Again, tomorrow, Aaron Deese here on the big program. For Jessica Freeberg, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for joining us here on the best in paranormal programming. You've been listening to Darkness Radio.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint, dents, dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Maaco, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry! These July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you ready for more independence as a financial advisor? Consider the RIA model. Schwab Advisor Services has helped thousands of advisors make the move. To find your path, start with Schwab at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths today.